Chapter 19. Mrs. Worthington takes forever to decide on her sweets, and we arrive at the Drury Lane with barely a moment to spare. The dusk, particular to theatres, descends, a romantic twilight that takes us away from our cares and makes the fantastic possible. The Drury Lane is known for its spectacle, and we are not to be disappointed. The enormous curtains part, revealing an extravagant set, a forest that appears as real as can be. In the centre of the stage, three old witches tend a cauldron. Thunder crashes. This is only a man banging a large piece of copper, but it produces shivers anyway. The wizened crones speak to us.
When shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain? When the hurly-burly's done, when the battle's lost and won, that will be ere the set of sun. Where the place? Upon the heath, there to meet with Macbeth. I come, Grey Malkin. Paddock calls, anon. Fair is foul, and foul is fair. Hover through the fog and filthy air.
Isn't this marvellous? Anne whispers, delighted, and I'm glad for what we've done. When Lily Trimble makes her entrance, the audience sits taller. Miss Trimble is a compelling creature, with thick waves of auburn hair that cascade down the back of her purple cloak. Her voice is deep and honeyed. She struts and preens, plots and laments with such a fervour that it is almost impossible to believe she is not truly Lady Macbeth herself. When she walks in her sleep, crying with remorse for her evil deeds, she is riveting, and all the while Anne sits on the edge of her seat, watching with keen attention. When the play comes to its end and Lily Trimble takes her bow, Anne applauds more loudly than any other in attendance. I have never seen her quite so moved, so alive. The lamps are brought to their full, dazzling light. Wasn't it marvellous? Anne asks, beaming. Her talent is extraordinary, for I actually believed her to be Lady Macbeth. Mrs. Worthington looks bored.
It isn't a pleasant play, is it? I so much preferred The Importance of Being Earnest. That was jolly.
I'm sure the performances could not have been nearly so fine as the one we've just seen by Miss Trimble, Anne opines. Oh, it was splendid. It was more than splendid. They shall have to invent the word to describe Lily Trimble, for none presently do her justice. I'd give anything to meet her. Anything. As we fold into the crowd, Anne looks back longingly toward the stage, where a young man pushes a broom, erasing all traces of the performance that held her so in thrall. I allow a man and his wife to separate us from Mrs. Worthington. Anne, do you truly want to meet her? I whisper. She nods. Desperately. Then you shall. Felicity pushes in, annoying a matron who decries her rudeness with an, I say!
Gemma, Fee says, curiosity piqued. What are you about?
We're taking Anne to meet Lily Trimble. Mrs. Worthington cranes her neck over the exiting crowd, looking for us. She reminds me of a lost bird.
Right, and how shall we rid ourselves of my mother?
We need only a few moments of freedom, a distraction of sorts. I have to concentrate, but it is so difficult with the crowd bustling about me. Their thoughts invade mine till I can scarcely see.
Gemma, Fee whispers. She and Anne link their arms through mine.
I struggle to hold fast to my original intent. I repeat it silently as we near Mrs. Worthington.
You see a friend in the crowd. You must go to her. We shall be fine here alone.
I repeat it till even I believe it.
Oh, Mrs. Worthington suddenly exclaims. Why, there is my dear friend, Madame Lacroix from Paris. How could she come without writing me? Oh, she's getting away. Excuse me, I won't be but a moment.
Like a woman possessed, Mrs. Worthington presses into the crowd in search of her dear friend, who is, no doubt, still in Paris as we stand there.
What did you do? Felicity asks with glee.
I gave her a wee suggestion. Now let's see about meeting Lily Trimble, shall we?